Oh, man. It's that day. Well, first of all, it's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, but this is our favorite day of the week. Everybody's like, you say that on every show. Well, this is truly, you know why? It's Friday. It's producer's choice. Jacob, chairman of the board, Johnny and I, you know, we get to kick back and be guests on our own show. And Jacob, you know, I'm not nervous today. It's rare, but I'm looking forward to this, man. What do you, well, you
let's
know?
Let's go. Yeah.
Jacob.
You've been becoming a lot more relaxed here on the show, Tim, and someday I'm going to take advantage of that by coming out with some sort of gotcha question. But for today, you're still safe. We're going to have nothing but fun here on the Producer's Choice Show. But to start things off, Tim, let's go. I'm going to break the norm.
Whoa.
We're doing 60 seconds to start the show. Dr. Tim Slecker, got a question for you. When did you first use the internet?
1993-ish. And it probably wasn't truly the internet, but I was, you've got mail. The precursor to the World Wide Web, which again, the World Wide Web was an enhancement of the internet. Remember that too. So, Jacob, I don't know if you were going to throw me a trick question. Somebody saying, Tim, the World Wide Web, what didn't come out until? How could you have used it before then? The internet, it was already there.
I am shocked and appalled that you would think that I would try to catch you or get you with a trick question. That's not what we do around here, Tim. So you're telling me you were using the first early internet back when all you could do was direct message Al Gore?
Hey, you know, he did invent the internet.
That's what I've heard.
You know,
I mean, Johnny Lupinacci, same question to you. When did you first use the internet?
I was in college. It was probably, I would say, 1996, school year 96, 97. Mm. And I first used the internet. I know it had been around, and I think my parents actually had something called Prodigy or something. I remember there was like a dial-up, like a noise, like thing that happened. I stayed away from that machine during my later years in high school. And then, you know, in college, I had not a roommate, but a buddy I met in the dorms who played guitar and was teaching me to play guitar and showed me that you could go on this thing in the computer lab and look up songs, and they would give you tablatures and chord charts for the songs. And that was my first use of the internet. Then shortly thereafter, right around the same time, school year 96, 97, I loved traveling. Even as a high school student, we traveled a lot, went places, and you always would go to either AAA or you'd go to a travel agent to kind of make plans or like book tickets places. And we said, we should go somewhere on our break. Right. Let's all go on like a trip together. I thought, well, that sounds cool. I'll talk to the travel agent. And the person looked at me like, dude, we just go to the computer lab and go on the internet. And I thought, man, I can get guitar tabs and and tickets for flights or buses places on this thing. Amazing. And it was, you know, downhill from there, became a pretty regular institution shortly thereafter for school assignments and things like that, and checking your email and all that jazz.
Dude, if you think getting tickets and finding chord progressions is impressive, wait till you see what we're going to do with the internet today on the Producer's Choice Show.
For Choo Choo Producer, Jacob's Choice, Chairman of the Board.
Ow!
You now have two choices.
Chairman of the Board, Jacob.
Ow!
Jacob, Chairman of the Board.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
We choose to go to the moon.
Life's full of tough choices.
You've got mail.
Fellas, thank you so much for joining me here today. Welcome back, everybody, to the Producer's Choice Show. I'm your host, Producer Jacob. We like to talk about a lot of different topics on this show, but today we're returning to one of our favorites, and that is public education. To help me do it, I've invited two of the most preeminent educators in the entire world, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Doctors, welcome back to your own show.
Yeah, Jacob, thanks for inviting us, man. I always love it.
Now, despite what proponents of the teacher shortage narrative would have you believe, there are nearly 100,000 freshly minted teachers graduating from American universities every single year. And that means that there are nearly 100,000 teachers desperately seeking advice as they take their first steps into their own classrooms. Like anyone, these young teachers turn to the internet for help when they need it. So today we're going to take a look at some of the advice that these young teachers are finding online and see what two educated educators have to say about it. Specifically, these comments come from the Reddit subreddit forum r/teaching. Gentlemen, are you ready to respond to some anonymous internet advice for teachers?
Bring it. Bring it, man. Bring it.
The original poster wrote in to the r/teaching forum with this question. I am experiencing extreme anxiety about the upcoming year. I will be a new teacher and am most worried about orientation night with the parents. Are there any tips you might be willing to share? Thank you for your help. Tim, Johnny, is this a fairly common fear for a brand new teacher to have?
Damn. Yeah, right on, man. You know, gotta talk to parents, dude. Definitely. I could see that. In fact, I know a lot of my students, even before they quote knew they had their first job, they're like, what do you do on the first day of school when you meet the parents? So yeah, really strong. I like the way the writer put that forward, the anxiety there. So be interested to hear the advice though.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Tim, because here is the first piece of advice they received from the collective wisdom of the internet. Here's piece of advice number one. Keep in the back of your mind, parents are like animals. They're probably more afraid of you than you are of them. Smile, say hi, be honest, but also don't share too much about yourself. Dr. Tim Slecker, I'll let you field this first. How do you feel about this first piece of advice? Good advice, bad advice?
You know what? I love the advice. And by saying that, somebody's like, so you think parents are animals? No, I like the way the advice giver used that to actually address the anxiety, because pointing it out like that, I think, you know, in a joking kind of funny way, a little over the top, you know, kind of a Tim vibe, I would say. I think that's great, because it automatically takes away that anxiety. And really what the advice is to acknowledge the truth of that interaction on that quote orientation first night. Parents are also in some form of their own anxiety about meeting their child's new teacher for the year. And so I think that's, you know, great advice. The other part, not too much personal information. Whew. Absolutely. I wished I would have known that.
Is that coming from a place of experience, Tim? Did you have a bad experience or what's going on here?
No, I, you know what? And I would say it's taken me a long time to actually be much more guarded, with, you know, who I am, you know, outside of the classroom in those settings, because, and I'll say I've typically though, potentially even erred on too much information intentionally. Because I also think that helps disarm that kind of wall of separation that isn't necessarily healthy itself. And so, but I do acknowledge that having a wall with a little bit of permeability is probably the best advice, but that there is definitely the need to understand that keep your personal life really kind of bound up, unless it truly has some explanation of making why you're a teacher or how you're going to run your classroom. I don't know. I'm waiting for Johnny to jump in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the internet's advice, although the sentiment I think is there. You know, acknowledge the anxiety; it's real. You're nervous, and I think in some contexts, most parents, I wouldn't say are nervous, but I would say those parent nights are like not to share personal information, but you know, equate it to like a meet and greet. It's like a first date. Right. So there's a little nervousness on both sides. Parents have been through a lot more of these than you have, new teacher. So we're used to the routine. We know the awkwardness of the thing. We know the role. What be you and share the important things about your passion and your excitement to educate their kids, to get to learn about their kids. You're excited to make, you know, learn the unique things that each of their kids bring to the classroom, to get to know them, and thank them for being there, because it's the meet and greet. You're excited to meet with those parents. Like, hey, we're in this together. And you can even say, you've been doing this a few more years than I have, right? And you're on the other end, and together, you know, we're kind of co-working to support this student in the classroom. So this is just a meet and greet. Any questions, you can always come to me. You can always send me an email, share how you prefer to be communicated with, whether you're an email person or, you know, you have a classroom text program in your school, whatever it is, you know, share that policy and just kind of give them a little orientation to your classroom, to your teaching, and approach it like a meet and greet, right? Just getting to know folks, just starting off the relationship, sort of like, hey, I'm new to the neighborhood. Like, what day is garbage day? Like, just kind of early. You moved somewhere and you talk to the neighbors. Same kind of thing. You're getting to know one another. And you can't go wrong if you share your excitement and passion. And every parent loves to hear that a teacher, especially a new teacher, is excited to learn about the exciting things and the unique interests and personalities that their kids bring to your classroom, right? And I always say this. I love to have meet and greet night be starting on the right foot. So the first time we talk isn't when your son or daughter, you know, is missing something or is, you know, in trouble. And I'll reach out to you for both good things and the not so good things. So I hope we're working together and on the same page. They love to hear that too. So yeah, it's always going to be something that brings a little bit of anxiety, but you got this. And I don't think that parents are like animals. So like the internet tried to make a cool comparison to.
So Tim was pro parents are animals. Johnny was anti parents are animals. Tim, give that piece of advice a rating. Would you, how many stars out of five would you give that piece of advice?
I'd give that a 4.
Johnny, how about you? I'm feeling less, maybe.
Like two, maybe. Like 1.7.
Moving on to the second piece of advice. Maybe this one will be better. We'll see. Well, according to Tim, the first one was pretty darn good. Piece of advice number two, you control the room. The parents are just your customers. You're the manager. Don't forget that. Johnny, I'll let you go first on this one. Is this good advice for teachers?
No. I mean, I would say I'll give it 1 star in the fact that you want to make sure, like, be organized, be prepared, be you. Because no one wants like to know, oh my gosh, that teacher has no plan. So have a plan, right? The classroom is a space that is your space. So I give it 1 star because it gets the right idea in terms of it's assuring the parents to know that the teacher is prepared and that, you know, knows what they want to do and share. So maybe even have a little agenda or have like a little PowerPoint up on your screen. Like, so what we're going to talk about in this 8 minutes we're together, you know, before the little bell rings and you go to your next class to meet the next teacher. you know, so they get a gist of it, maybe even have a handout, right? Especially with your contact info on there, parents like that. But if you communicate that sort of like you're in charge, you're, you know, I don't know. I've never been an authoritarian leader of a classroom with kids. I'm certainly not one around parents. So, you know, you can be organized and not be a dictator of that space. And telling grownups what to do goes about as well as telling kids what to do. Like, and that's my attempt at sarcasm. It doesn't go over big.
Dr. Tim Slucker, same question to you. Now, Johnny didn't like it, so I assume you're going to love it, but give us your views on it.
Yeah, horrendous advice. I mean, you know, oh my, please don't. Wow, the one thing that might be setting the year in off, getting the year started off on truly a horrendous footing. taking control of the room.
You're late, sir.
Yeah, where the, you know, wait a minute. If your child is going to act like this, you might as well just tell him to stay out of my classroom. Boy, the apple
doesn't fall far from the tree, does it?
That made me think of that. Oh, my God. No, please, please. I don't think this one needs a whole lot of elaboration other than to say that the person who offered that advice, I'm going to say, is not going to have a great future in producing advice books for teachers.
Yeah.
How many stars out of 5 do you give it, Tim?
I actually would. Johnny, I think, was gracious. I don't think it deserves a starring on this.
Holy cow.
I just think it would be hilarious to give it a try, though. Like, you're in my house.
So, Johnny, this is not advice that you give your educators that you're educating.
No, absolutely not.
Let's see how we feel about this third and final piece of advice. And this is the biggest piece of advice that I found. This person was very thoughtful, had a lot of different pieces of advice all wrapped up into one comment. Starting here, do not spend a lot of money to decorate your room. The empty space is for your students to decorate with their work. It's okay to say no to extra work. Just say you're focusing on your own classroom and keeping your head above water as a new teacher. Piece of advice number 3 from them, enjoy the students and create positive relationships. This will pay off whenever you need to address a situation with them or their parents down the line. And finally, the school year is a marathon and not a sprint. Pace yourself. This is a much bigger, more nuanced piece of advice. Dr. Tim Slucker, let's keep the ball in your court. How do you feel about that?
The last part, absolutely. I probably within all of that, actually the advice giver only actually needed to point that out. Because that really, I mean, that is so hard to actually to even know what that means too. I almost wonder if boy, you can't come to that wisdom until you've actually lived through thinking that you were going to be in your first year of teaching nominated as the teacher of the year because of the bulletin board changes that you were doing every 2 weeks, the rotation of learning centers that you crafted at home by yourself every night so that the kids could have a new experience, the original lesson planning that you put forward every day. You try that and you're going to end up like this teacher I know in 1990 who in his third week of school looked out into the classroom of 29 7-year-olds, and all of a sudden the blur came over and they went over to their lead teacher and said, I gotta go home. Now I'm going to keep confidential who that person was because they revealed that experience to me, and that was me, Jacob. That was me.
That was you, Tim. I thought it was the governor of Minnesota. You totally threw me for a loop.
No, I mean, and I had to learn that just like that, because I mean, my cognitive, emotional, all those things, it shut down that day, because I was literally, I had no idea what it meant to, quote, run a marathon. Not at all. And so all the other advice, I don't know about leaving the room empty, let the kids take care of that. You know what? I actually think having a really nice, inviting room as parents and kids walk in, I actually think that's a good thing. You know, spend some effort to really create, you know, here it is, right? That's a first impression moment. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, you know, don't show up to a job interview in your jeans and your muscle shirt. You know, it takes some time. Buy a suit. You're a teacher. Get your room ready, man. You know, get it set up. Make it look inviting. Of course, you don't have to go over the top, but, you know, I understand the idea. Hey, let the kids decorate. Let it be their own. You know, first of all, they'll do a horrible job. I mean, you don't want your kids decorating your room for a first impression, okay? I understand that. Let the kid. No, they won't do it. So, but man, marathoning, boy, that is, that's gold.
So, how do you rate that advice, Tim?
Just because of including that one on the end, I would have said a 3. But they get the pushing a 4. Mm.
Okay, so parents are animals and kids suck at decorating is what I've learned from this advice review session. Yeah. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, same question to you. What do you think about that advice?
Yeah, I think, you said it well, Jacob. There's a lot of advice packed into that, and some of it's really good. And I'll echo Tim to any teacher, especially new teachers. The school year is a marathon. Right. You will burn out if you go full speed right from the get go. You have to pace yourself. You have to make sure that you're resting and that you're not maxed out by October, September, or even November. Right. You got to go usually August to June. So it's a haul and you'll get used to it. You train for it and you'll learn the ebbs and flows of the school year. I've been in different scenarios in terms of room decor. I agree with Tim. I think it's important to have a welcoming environment. That said, if you just got your classroom 2 days before, you know, you might be a late hire. You might be new. Yeah. You might be under-resourced. You know, don't sweat the small stuff because you are what matters. So you can be honest, right? You could say, we just got into our classrooms less than 2 days ago. I've been in all my trainings. I'm excited for the school year. I can't wait for y'all to come back, visit the classroom, and see it in a few weeks, maybe in a few months. You'll see student work up via other things. But if you have, like most districts, days dedicated to preparing your room, we get things ready before the kids even come. If you have that luxury, right? Go for it, right? Make it your space. Make it inviting space for kids. Make it something that, like, as kids get distracted, because they will, that they're focused on something, you know, inspirational or educational. And you don't have to break the bank to do it, right? Talk to other teachers, right? They'll share some stuff that they're maybe not using in their room anymore that they have. Veteran teachers are a great resource. Talk to your school librarian. It's a great conversation point. You know, you can even go, you know, and collect some things, reach out to some nearby universities. If you're a high school teacher, especially, you know, recruiters will give you materials to say, hey, yeah, we got some local universities and schools nearby. They'll give you some pennants and some different things to put up in your classroom. All kinds of unique ways, you know, to display things, get some maps, right? There are a lot of free teacher resources out there. Start collecting them ahead of time, kind of have a little box or crate like most of us teachers have of things I'd hang up in my classroom, right? Have your classroom expectations clear, right? Have the, you know, usually most teachers listen and know this, you develop like what the rules and expectations are for your classroom and you have them up and kind of have the schedule of the day, those kinds of things. Have your space ready for the students. It's just like you'd be having guests over. You prepare to host a party. You know, school is kind of like hosting a big learning party. So make it fun and inviting. So I think that's important. But that said, the anxiety and stress of being a new teacher, right? If you're going right in and there aren't a lot of resources, you can make up for it with you. You're the reason the kids are going to be learning, right? And you'll make that space work. And Jacob, I like the part about showcasing students' work.
Yes.
So like, and Tim does too, but it's not everywhere and all over the place. You might have a bulletin board or space like this month we're, you know, if I'm teaching geometry, maybe we were doing Pythagorean's theorem and there was some cool projects that we did with that. You know, I make sure that stuff's up on the board. Or maybe you're a big fan of like the school sports, you know, maybe over the years collect some artifacts for that or advertise school clubs, different things in your room that are a little bit about you and also give students a point of connection to other things in the school. And so I give it, Jacob, about a 2.5 out of 5, right in the middle, because there was some good advice and there was also some advice I was sort of like, man, that's just stuff that's making it more stressful for the new teacher.
So a lot of advice, a little bit of a mixed bag. So some of it Tim liked, all of it Johnny didn't like very much. And I think that might reflect that, Johnny, you're so embedded in actually giving good advice to teachers all the time in your day-to-day routine.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. And just to validate the original question, like, hey, I'm a new teacher and I'm anxious about that parent night. Just so you know, you're not alone out there. That's one of the most common things teachers, new teachers or teachers to be asking me about. What do you do on that first meet with the parents? What do you recommend? What do you suggest? So you're not alone. That's a common question. Great topic for producer's choice, Jacob.
Yeah. And don't line up shots. That would be advice
for the parents. You don't think it's a good idea. Listen, Tim, I don't know much about being a teacher, but you do not think, expert opinion, should not pour out a bunch of shots for the parents on orientation night. Is that not good advice?
Not good advice.
Well, then I'm not even going to read the fourth one. Anyway, guys, great show today, but there's one last thing that I like to do here. Let's go. Fellas, we just looked at a lot of advice for this poor teacher starting their first year who is worried about orientation night. Dr. Tim Slecker, can you give some good advice for that teacher?
You know what? Be who you are. You know, be positive. Talk about the things that excite you. Maybe even give a little, you know, quick, why did I become a teacher? We're talking about first year, first time teacher. And also communicate that, please, parents, feel free to reach out, because this is a partnership that we're coming into. Don't make it so big in the sense that you put so much anxiety on yourself that you overdo things in that moment. You know, there's a simplicity to that first night where it's just like, you know, I'm Mr. Tim Slecker. I'm, you know, really excited this year. It's my first year teaching. You know, I've got a lot of things planned. But, you know, at any time, you know, I'm open to communications and I'm looking forward to, you know, creating a partnership with all of you this year so that we can have a great year. There's a simplicity there, right? And so I would say, you know, keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it open to the fact that they realize that this is somebody they are going to start to feel comfortable with. You know, being in touch with in communication. I think that's it. Create that sense of your ability to be not available at every moment's time, but that you are that person. And here's the thing. Well, oh my God, then they're all going to call me. No, they're not. Here's the other part of with that. You'll find out that those parents, yeah, actually you're going to find out that there are parents who are going to be in touch a lot. There are going to be parents who are, you know, occasionally, and then you're going to also find time going like, when am I ever going to hear from that one? So open invitation for partnership will not create a rush of every parent coming at you. But your ability to say and present genuinely that you are open to working as a partner, that really, you got to communicate that right away, because if they come out of that first with going like, boy, this person's not gonna, you know, it's kind of like a lone wolf who has no interest in being, that'll be hard to recover from.
Good advice, Tim. A little long, so I'm gonna give you a 4 out of 5.
Wait, oh my God, look, okay, hold Johnny to 60 seconds this time, man.
Johnny, you're super succinct all the time, so I feel that I can trust you with this 60-second question. What's some good advice from a real educated educator on this problem?
Yeah, I think Tim gave a great and most important advice. Be you, be yourself. And then something concrete I'll tell you is that your administrator or a veteran teacher in the school, or maybe just the teacher in the classroom next door will tell you, how long is each group of parents going to be in my room? Right. And say it's 8 minutes or 12 minutes or 17 minutes. They'll give you the time. Plan something out that's under that time and practice it. Right. Just to be succinct. Like Tim said, keep it simple. But say if I have 8 minutes, I want to go over these things in 5 minutes, and I'll save the last three for, you know, some questions and conversations, or give you some extra time to get to the next classroom. Right. That will go a long way, because it will low key showcase your organizational skills and give them a little sample of what it's like to be in your classroom. You're calm, you're collected, you're you, you planned ahead, and you gave them the information that they needed. Don't overplan and fill the time with too much space, and then people are confused leaving your room. They have 8 handouts. It's all too much. Don't overprepare. Prepare just the right amount. Get the amount of time. Practice it a few times with yourself or with your teacher friend there. You know, and make sure you're ready to go, and just keep it simple and a meet and greet. That's it.
Mm. I like that advice, Johnny, but I want to leave you room to grow, because I think if I gave you a perfect score that, you know, where are you going to go? So 4 out of 5 for both of you. Both of you did very good jobs. Dr. Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, as always, it's a huge pleasure and honor to have you as guests on your own show.
Thank you for having us, Jacob.
And now, Tim, I think there's something left for you to do.
It's time for your moment of zen. Protest beyond the law is not a departure from democracy. It is absolutely essential to it.
Hey there, Pencil Busters. This is producer Jacob, and thank you for listening to the Producer's Choice Show. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the Busted Pencils programs, starting out Monday with Homeroom, Wednesday with Class in Session, and of course, you can always find us every Saturday across the Civic Media Network for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim, Johnny, and Jacob, and keep busting pencils.